Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us on this Wednesday. And let's start with our kind of daily coronavirus update. And not necessarily good numbers, but I think what we all have been expecting is more testing is done across the country and in the state of Indiana as well. Indiana, as of midnight, they update the numbers at the end of each day with tests that have come in from different labs and places across the state. 477 positive cases of COVID-19. Of course, that will grow, you have to believe, over 500 and probably and some by the end of today. Also, as of yesterday, 14 deaths, unfortunately, in our state from this coronavirus, and 3,300 plus have been tested at this point. That's another number that's been jumping up by a large scale each day, which is a good thing. So going to be interesting to see how this affects Indiana, how this affects Southern Indiana, the Kentuckiana region. Of course, the really concerning note, I think, right now, the really concerning place right now is New York, specifically New York City. The numbers of cases, the number of positives, the number of people needing hospitalization, the number of hospital rooms that are projected to be needed, and which they're talking about transferring or quickly overhauling hotels to be hospitals, makeshift hospitals. Lots of things in play there. And what's projected, and again, it's just what's projected, but it's based on some pretty hard figures about where they're going and how accelerated the spread of that virus is, especially in New York City, is very, very concerning, and I think should be concerning to all Americans. They are the epicenter. There's no question about it, in our country at least. And, of course, Italy, we've been watching that with just kind of disgust about how that has been for the Italian population. The number of deaths, the number of infected people, and of course that number had dropped a little bit the last maybe two or three days, but I saw last night that number jumped up again back to what it was before the last few days, when there was maybe some hope that these quarantines and staying at home, working over there, they've been in that now for a while, but that number back up today or yesterday when at the close of business. So lots to keep an eye on. This thing is interesting. There's press conferences throughout the day with governors and presidents. There's been some local stuff from health departments. And, of course, today starts a stay-at-home order from Governor Holcomb in the state of Indiana. Kentucky has some very similar guidelines for the most part as well. Not that much different coming into the Big X today. Traffic obviously has been way down now for a week or so. Maybe a little less traffic today, but still people out working, still trucks on the interstate. Just going to be interesting to see how this stay-at-home thing works. So you're only supposed to be out if there's a necessity to do so. And thankfully, media, one of those abilities to keep rolling here at the Big X, and for the foreseeable time going forward, we'll have this show each day at 11 o'clock. Let's jump into the show today. The show lineup, it's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. A lot to get to today. A new scholarship offer out from Archie Miller to an underclassman player up east, a prep school connection. We'll talk about that coming up here in just a moment. Also, some activity in the Big Ten Conference. Illinois has a transfer, someone leaving the program, and Michigan State, a player, you could probably guess who it is, that yesterday declared for the NBA draft. And the Indiana All-Stars, those games still on right now in early June against the state of Kentucky. We'll see if they actually get played, but they took a step forward. This is kind of the natural thing to do this time of year, appoint the coach of the team. And we'll tell you who the coach is on the boys' side for this summer of 2020. And I know a lot of people hoping those games are played and that things are somewhat back to normal in the month of June. We'll do that in segment one. Segment two, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic joins. We'll talk IU basketball. We'll talk Big Ten. We'll talk some of the activity in the Big Ten Conference, who's coming, who's going, what NBA draft processes or lack thereof maybe with the coronavirus situation could look like, and a lot more with Dustin when he joins us, as he does each Wednesday. And then our final segment today, normally it's Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, presented by Major League Shirt Company. We're going to keep it with the News and Tribune, but because there's not a ton of local sports right now, I wanted to go a little different direction. We've been trying to have some non-sports guests, some community-based guests. We've had mayors. We've had health department officials. Dr. Loeffner, the superintendent of Greater Clark Schools, is going to come on with us later this week, trying to keep you interested in everything. What's going on in the community, how coronavirus is affecting us locally. You hear so much about how it affects us as a country, but how is it affecting us locally? And so Chris Morris, assistant editor of the News and Tribune, he's going to be with us today on the phone. And the good thing about Chris is he's been around forever. He knows Clark and Floyd counties. He knows sports in our counties. And so we're going to mix a little coronavirus and how crazy this is and the effects on our local communities and our restaurants and others with a little sports as well, because Chris cut his teeth in the journalism industry covering some of the great teams here in Southern Indiana, the great high school basketball teams. He's covered some great players, and Chris is still that guy, even though he's not a sports guy day-to-day. When there's a death or when there's a Hall of Fame announcement or an important happening, he's normally got the story or he's normally got the column on it. He just had something on Kirby Overman, former New Albany coach that was inducted in or will be inducted, supposed to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. That has been postponed, as you can imagine. But Chris Morris, assistant editor, News and Tribune, he joins us a little bit later in the program. That segment presented by Major League Shirt Company. That's the show lineup for this Wednesday program. A reminder, if you missed our Tuesday show, we had Greg Doyle, and probably most importantly to you guys, IU fans, Anthony Leal, IU recruit in the 2020 class. I thought Anthony was spectacular in his answers, very well spoken. No question, he's a highly, highly intelligent young man. And if you missed yesterday's show, like all of our shows, you can find it on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report, and you can also find it in Apple Podcast as well. You might want to check that out. Again, I thought he had great answers and really a great understanding of where we're at right now and also what he wants to get done in the offseason before he officially becomes a Hoosier in Archie Miller's program. Visit your local Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany for lunch and dinner options that you can get quickly in a clean and pleasant atmosphere without all the crowds and the chaos at the grocery stores. Honey Baked Ham has several dinner bundles as well as their delicious ham and turkey for takeout. And if you call ahead, they'll bring it right out to you. You can get curbside service. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with location in Jeff and New Albany. Those drive-thrus takeout available, obviously, at Zaxby's as well, one of our great and longtime sponsors here on the show. Couple things today, new scholarship offer, and I got to believe if it wasn't for all of the virus stuff right now, we would have a lot more recruiting activity. Coaches can still, if it's, you know, if they're of the right grade, the right age, coaches can still text and there can be communication. Scholarship offers have been going out. I think Louisville's offered a number of people here in the last few weeks. But you got to believe that, and of course, on-campus visits, whether it's unofficial, official, that's all shut down across the board to be even with all conferences at all levels of college basketball at this time and for the foreseeable future. But again, you got to believe if it wasn't for all this, there would be a lot more recruiting activity Normally that's the case when a school's bounced from the tournament. Their season comes to a close. Coaches are getting ready for the spring recruiting period, which typically happen in the middle of April. There's a couple live weekends scheduled for this year that won't happen now because of the coronavirus. A lot of those AAU tournaments being canceled. I think everything's been shut down, to be quite honest with you. But it's been a little slower, especially for Indiana. Obviously, you expect some movement, some players lost to graduation. There's always the opportunity and the likelihood in the world we're in that someone enters the transfer portal. People have joked, you know, the sports world's basically shut down. The transfer portal has been one of the things that continues to do what it always does this time each year, and that's get a lot of names into that portal that are going to try or thinking about making a switch to where they're going to play college basketball for next season. Of course, a lot of those guys graduate transfers because they've got their undergraduate done. They can be immediately eligible. So I think we normally expect more activity from an Indiana front, but still some rumblings out there as well. But we can report that Indiana yesterday offered a scholarship to a 6'7" sophomore, so a class of 2022 forward, plays on the wing. His name is Alex Caravan, and here's the interesting thing. He's another, like Jordan Geronimo, he's got a prep school tied to him. He plays at the New Hampton School, which is one of the prep schools that's probably been, over the years, been written, talked about the most, had a lot of success there. The interesting thing with that is that prep school is where Mike Roberts played. Mike Roberts, now an assistant at Indiana, former player at Indiana, and of course Mike played and then coached for a while in the New England prep school scene. So interesting connection there. I've never seen Caravan play, watched a few highlights that you can find of him, but a very versatile player. He can shoot it, very bouncy type player as well, can score inside, can score outside, averaged 20 points, 10 rebounds as a sophomore in that very good NEPSAC, they call it, New England League Athletic Conference in New England of prep school basketball. He was named first team all-conference. And again, those are big accomplishments as just a sophomore as a recruit now for Indiana. So there's a new name, Alex Caravan, not an Indiana guy, not a Hoosier native, but someone to check on in the prep school scene if and when we finally get back to some travel AAU shoe circuit basketball, perhaps in the summer, if it's going to happen this year. Also, always fun to look ahead. We'll do some of this with Dustin Dopierak when he joins me at the way too early rankings in college basketball for next season. And one of the fun things is, I know that these rankings are worthless. I know that there's so much with these rosters that can and will change, subtractions, additions, things with coaches. Who knows, in the world we're in, NCAA violations that can change the outlook of a team. You just never know in this world of college basketball that we've been in now for the last couple of years. But one of the things you can say about these way too early polls and rankings and listings of teams for, and even individual players when they break them down from that perspective, one of the great things is to see your team mentioned. Whether you're up there, number one, number five, whether you're at the very bottom, number 25, a team just outside the top 25 that got a mention, it's a good thing to be mentioned, and it's fun for fans to talk about and think about for next season. So a couple polls out there. Let's check in where Indiana's at. John Rothstein of CBS Sports, he has Indiana as number 23 in his top 25, his way too early ranking for next season. Let's see here. Also, for next year, USA Today, Scott Gleason did a poll. He has Indiana at number 26, Louisville at number 34. As I look through things here, Kentucky has a lot of high marks for next season as well, if you look across most of the polls as well. And Indiana listed on a couple outside the top 25, but as a team to watch for next season, I think one, they were listed as maybe the number 27, just outside the top 25. So Indiana getting some mention with who is expected to return for next season, which I think is a very encouraging thing based on how Indiana finished the season and based on what they have coming back, the addition of a recruiting class, and namely Christian Lander. I think there's a lot of excitement and interest if he's able to qualify himself, get his requirements done, and join the 2020 class and be eligible to play college basketball next season. Some movement in the Big Ten, always interesting to track that as well. At Illinois, a player, Alan Griffin, who was really the first or second player off the bench for the Illini this season. He averaged 8.9 points. He's a sophomore. He's going to enter the transfer portal, and he's was likely for what should be a pretty good Illinois team that does lose a couple key cogs or is expected to lose some key players with Dosumo and also Coburn expected to go to the NBA. I think both have announced that they are going to at least enter their names in the draft. He was expected to be a starter, was Alan Griffin. So that's, I would think, a loss for Illinois as he enters the transfer portal. Also, Michigan State, no surprise here. What a player Xavier Tillman is. And he announced yesterday that he plans to enter the NBA draft. But he is going to keep the option open to return to Michigan State. Not going to sign with an agent is what he announced yesterday. Also, the Indiana All-Stars named their coach Carmel boss Ryan Osborne. He's a longtime assistant with Carmel, recently been the head coach, won a state championship in his first season as a head coach. He's going to be leading the Indiana All-Stars, the boys team, this year. As of now, those games, those All-Star games, are still on June 5th. The game is scheduled to be played against Kentucky in Georgetown, Kentucky, and then back in Indianapolis, this time at Southport High School, with some renovations and things in the offseason at Bankers Life, June 6th, the very next day, Kentucky at Indiana. And again, according to Mike Broughton, former Jeffersonville coach, he's now the Indiana All-Star Game Director, those games on as of now. And here in the coming weeks, we'll see the announcement not only of Mr. Basketball in the state of Indiana, but the Indiana All-Star roster. Just like the girls, they went ahead, as I think they should, and get those out there, honor those players, and let's hope now that they get the chance to play in some games a little bit later in the summer. Maybe that would be the next basketball, potentially with a high school flair to it, that we could see if things improve and we can get back to some normalcy later this spring into the start of the summer. That's a look at our headlines presented by Zaxby's. Don't forget to stop by Zaxby's. The drive-thrus are open. Takeout is open. Home of famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order. Zaxby's, a location in Jeffersonville and New Albany as well. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. He covers Indiana, Purdue, Butler for The Athletic, and we're going to talk about IU next season, the Big Ten next season, and some of the movement here the last week or so, players declaring for the draft, players entering the transfer portal, and a lot more, all coming up next here on this Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday program. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic is my guest. Dustin covers Indiana, Purdue, and Butler for The Athletic. Does a great job and is kind enough to join us Wednesdays to talk college basketball here on the program. Dustin, I think that we've had a chance now to catch our breath. And as crazy as it sounds, I know we're in late March. We should be basically smack dab in the middle of the NCAA tournament, but I have somewhat, I don't know about you, come to grips with the fact that March Madness is off, is canceled, and I think every time I turn the television on and listen to a press conference from a governor or see the need in New York City right now or get updates from Italy, and of course it was China, but now still Italy and Spain and others, this hits a little bit closer to home. And you start to lose, I don't want to say interest, because we're talking about the Big Ten for next season and IU for next season here in just a few moments. But the reality of this and what could be has set in, and I think that's kind of made me at least come to a closure that, hey, it's okay. We'll get by without any March Madness. Let's just see if we can get by past this coronavirus pandemic right now.
No, absolutely. I mean, you're starting to see horror stories pop up, honestly. I mean, you're starting to see, you know, I spend entirely too much time following social media and political Twitter and everything else, but you're starting to see things pop up from, you know, doctors that are there in New York City, especially in emergency rooms, and seeing what they're seeing. And, you know, if you get it bad, I mean, like, obviously, I think even Andrew Cuomo was on there yesterday talking about how, you know, for most people, it's, you know, you don't even ever know you have it. It self-resolves. But for the people that it doesn't, it's a nightmare. You know, the symptoms that they're describing, basically just not being able to breathe, and how, you know, basically, I think I saw just a tweet from one emergency room doctor who was just saying that we started to believe that basically everybody is coming in with it whenever, you know, every new patient is the same symptoms with the fever and trouble breathing. You're hearing about that, you know, how people are dealing, that even the ventilators aren't really working, these people are having a very, very difficult time being able to breathe. Carl Anthony Towns obviously announced last night that his mother is in a medically induced coma because of the coronavirus, and he was explaining just what it's been like over the last, you know, few days to see her deteriorate because of it. So it seems like basically if you get it bad, it is devastating and it is vicious and it is nasty, and there are a lot of people who are losing people that they weren't supposed to lose basically this year. I mean, obviously, as I mentioned, it's worse for people that have underlying conditions, but all the same, those underlying conditions were being managed in some way, shape, or form. You add this to it, and all of a sudden becomes very untenable. So people already have lost a lot of people that they weren't, you know, prepared to lose. And so that is going to happen, and it's going to continue happening. So absolutely, you could see it's getting really bigger faster. I mean, I was just in New York for the Big East tournament, and that's sort of when everything ended. And to think, okay, you know, this is what's changed in the span of 2 weeks. You see pictures, nobody's out, and you know that there's this constant hum of ambulances taking people to the emergency room. And it's just the you know, you think of just how fast things have moved. I mean, the decision to cancel the NCAA tournament seems so long ago now. I mean, it's I think, you know, what, 2 weeks as of Friday, and it mm-hmm. feels like it's another lifetime at this point. It just seems like another world when we were even thinking about playing events. That seems just so preposterous to even imagine right now. It's just, again, after 2 weeks of sort of dealing with this and starting to see the numbers pile up.
You know, I promise we'll get to sports here in just a moment, but when you look at a situation like Italy and then even closer to home, New York City specifically, you have to wonder, you mentioned that you were in New York recently, you have to wonder how long the virus has been there with the population density, with obviously the closeness of living quarters, of everything in New York City, the hustle bustle, to have this many cases grow this quick, and it's very accelerated, which I think is what's most concerning to everybody, especially in that epicenter, you could say, of the United States right now with the virus. But you do have to wonder, how long has it been there with the international flights and all the population? You wonder,
sure,
when you were there, how active was it in some of the cases that maybe weren't being diagnosed as flu, kind of unknown what some of the conditions or the cases were? How long's that thing been around? We just will never know that, but you got to wonder how long it's been in the States and in New York City, a place that's having a terrible time with it right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the thing is, it's just, you spend 5 minutes in New York and you realize like how hard it is to lock everything down. And just the idea of like casually, I mean, you couldn't really casual social distance. You have to lock everything down. If everything is open, you have no chance, because I mean, just so many people, you know, require public transportation to go to work. I mean, it's insane to own a car in New York City because of the amount of money it costs. It's not like you can, you know, socially distance yourself on the way to work. You're taking subways, you're taking buses. I mean, it's almost impossible to get around and do anything in New York without coming in contact with thousands of people and being within short distance of thousands of people. And it's just, it is the worst place for it, but it's just, I mean, that's just what New York is. So obviously it's pretty impressive that, you know, again, seeing some pictures, it seems that people aren't going out. They see how big of a deal this is. But before you do that, you have to close down the businesses. You can't tell them that they cannot go to work. They have to be told that that's not an option to shut that thing down. And it can move so fast. Like you said, I mean, you have international flights, you have people coming from everywhere all the time, you know, whether it's tourism or business. or whatever it might be. There's just so many humans, and you're constantly within a short distance of many people. So again, social distancing is something that has to be physically required in New York. So you have that whole entire period. You don't know when, you know, technically the first case was, the first person to pick it up, and when it moved and how it moved, because there's just so many ways that it can. I mean, this thing lives on metal surfaces. You know, that's what you have, is those poles in the New York City subway. You know, somebody could leave that there, pick it up, and spread it to God knows how many people. So it's just, it is a, you know, New York City is a recipe for disaster for this particular kind of virus. I don't know that much about it. I know the same as everybody else does from reading all these news reports, but you know, it is probably everything you hear about it makes New York City sort of the worst case scenario because of just how many people there are, and honestly, not that big of a landmass when it comes to that, down to a New York City from as far as size of area isn't that big, and there are just an incredible number of humans there.
Yeah, no question about it. Talking with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, some unprecedented, some scary times right now, that's for sure. Let's jump into something that I think we all enjoy using as a distraction the best we can right now, basketball and, of course, college hoops, even in the off season, which this is the first time it's ever been the off season in March. There are plenty to talk about. Last week I put you on the spot. I said, hey, Dustin, give us your early look at maybe the Big Ten Conference for next year, who you could see as some of the top teams. And I know we have a long way to go until we can really accurately talk about the league for next year, but I do think obviously some of the players you expect to announce for the NBA have done that, some holding off because there's some unknown with that process as well, thanks to the coronavirus situation. There have been some players enter the transfer portal, some surprising, some not so surprising, but I believe even in just a week's time we have a little bit more clarity about the conference, and there's still a long, long way to go. One thing I'll say is when like Michigan State, Xavier Tillman announces for the NBA draft, that's not a major surprise. Illinois loses a player to the transfer portal yesterday. But when I look at those rosters from this season and who should be back outside of NBA hopefuls or outside of maybe a transfer player, those teams still have plenty coming in, plenty returning. So I think that some of the teams we saw finish strong in the Big Ten Conference, and I'm going to put Indiana in that mix, have an opportunity to maybe be strong in the Big Ten Conference once again next year.
Yeah, no, I think absolutely. I mean, obviously Michigan State is Michigan State, and I think even, you know, obviously they lose Cassius and they lose Tillman now with him going pro. You know, they're still going to have some players. They're still Michigan State. Again, we mentioned Rocket Watts last week, and I think he has a chance to be the guy that they build around, and then you put Henry and Brown and those guys still in there, and there's going to be more players. I think a couple of the bigs have a chance, I think, to develop. Malik Hall and Julius Marble and Bingham and those guys. It's a big loss to lose Tillman, but I think they'll still be okay. You know, Illinois, the Griffin's a tough loss, and I think you know, the issue going forward, Io hasn't popped yet, has he? He hasn't said that he's going. I haven't seen it. I could be wrong.
I don't know. I can't answer that.
It's all like kind of coming fast, and it gets, sports news gets buried right now with bigger stuff. But no, I mean, I think obviously the question for Illinois is, if they get to keep either Io or Kofi, then that changes the dynamic definitely. I think a lot of people look at it as those guys could go. Griffin's a significant loss. I mean, he was a big time player as a sub. You know, had some big games. I think he really burned Purdue earlier in the year. Basically, when they had that 63-37 game, he really went off on them. It was a really tough cover for them. So that's a significant loss. And if they lose Io, and if they lose Kofi, you know, that is a pretty big hit, and they'll probably take a little bit of a tumble. But I think, you know, Underwood seems to have it rolling there, and I think they'll be okay. I'm trying to think of who else is already moved. I mean, I you know, you presume, you know, Maryland, if they haven't lost Jalen Smith yet, they will, you know, and Minnesota, if they haven't lost Daniel Turo yet, they will. And those are some big obvious ones. But, you know, again, there's some, you know, there's some good players up and down the league, and, you know, some solid teams up and down the league that if they don't get hit too hard, by NBA talent. I mean, there's by the NBA draft, I think there's a chance for everybody to for there to be a lot of good teams in the league again. Basically, when we're this solid, you know, again, there's only so many guys that were, you know, again, NBA caliber players. You don't know if Garza is going to leave, even though Garza might be is going to be somebody's a lot of people's National Player of the Year. You know, I mean, I don't think he's a sure thing necessarily to even go pro. I would think he will, but you don't know that. It's not as sure of a thing as a Turo and Smith. So a lot of the other classmen are going to be there. But I think Indiana just having Trayce Jackson-Davis is big, because I think, you know, when you have a focal point, obvious top player, and, you know, you go in knowing sort of who the guy that you're going to focus around is going to be, I mean, that's big. And I think he obviously has an idea of, okay, where he fits in the league, how good he is, and what he needs to do to get better. He knows who his competition is now. He knows what those guys do. You know, he knows what it takes. Basically, he's seen the guys who are better than him right now and what he has to do to get at that level. So that's, again, a nice piece to have. And if Jackson Davis can take, like, the same leap from freshman to sophomore year that Oturo did and that Smith did, you know, then he has a chance to be, again, a first team All Big Ten sort of guy and a pro. And if you've got something you can build around with that makes you a lot more powerful.
Talking with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, he joins us Wednesdays on the show. Let me ask you this. I want to talk about the NBA draft process if we have time, but Devontae Green, coming, you know, senior, he and Deron Davis had said, even if the NCAA made some decision, and I don't think anyone expects they will, that because of no NCAA and conference tournaments, basically, they would give players another year of eligibility. That's been mentioned. I don't think there's any chance it happens, and I'm not sure that anybody that knows a lot more than me thinks it happens either. But it sounds like those guys, those IU seniors, are done and going to move on to the next phase of life and perhaps basketball. Devontae Green. Does he get, and I know it's going to be tough for players like him because workouts and individual workouts with teams, small groups workouts with teams, and of course, I don't know that he would get invited to the draft combine itself, but there are other combines out there that potentially he might have an opportunity to attend. Does he have a sniff at the NBA? I can't imagine being someone in the front office evaluating him with his ups and his downs, or is he more of a player that if he's going to get paid to play, is going to have to go overseas? And there are some really nice situations overseas, but do you think he has any sniff at an NBA or getting on a G League team, or maybe it's a two-way deal?
I'd be surprised. I mean, it's tough to kind of, you know, guess what the numbers are going to be, but, you know, basically look at his career, look at the kind of player he was, again, with the risk reward piece of him. And, you know, basically the fact that, you know, yeah, he can make that step back three, but does he make it all the time? You know, and the fact that he's in love with it. I think he just strikes me as a guy who ends up having to go to Europe. And like you said, that's not a bad thing. You can have a really good life, you know, basically spending that time in Europe. And maybe you go there. I mean, and you can also go there, you know, get your game right and come back. It's not that, you know, people have absolutely done that, gone and been successful in a place like Italy or Spain or whatever, and had a chance to come back. Obviously, we're still dealing with a difficult situation there of, you know, how does the European League change, you know, by this, by the European leagues, you know, like, again, like Italy is generally a place you want to be. How is this place going to be affected by that? What's the economy going to do over there in terms of how it ends up handling all this fallout? But, you know, first blush is just that he just strikes me as a guy who really fits in Europe. And, you know, people like basically, like, your European teams like guys who have a lot of scoring potential, can sell a lot of tickets just because, again, their explosiveness and, you know, guys that can operate that way. So I would think he seems to fit. Do you really got to do? I don't know that you look at him and say, okay, this is a guy that we really want to have in camp because he's going to be, you know, he's never going to be anybody's leading scorer in the NBA. You know, he's not that level of explosive. So it's like, okay, you know, what is he in that case? You know, you need him to be something else. You need him to bring something other than scoring for him to be able to get on a roster. So I think, you know, once you look at it and say, okay, is he a guy that can be your leading scorer? No. Is he a guy going to be your second or third leading scorer? Probably not. So it's like, okay, can he be a second-team guard? Second-team scoring guard? Maybe. But you want to see, I think, some more pieces to him. You want to see, I mean, like, he can be a good defender. You know, it's not like he's terrible at that. But it's not necessarily a lockdown guy that you say, man, Devontae Green is really the guy that can lock you up. So I don't think there's enough beyond scoring to his game that makes an NBA team think, okay, either A, I need him in my camp, or B, I need him on my G League team just in case. I would be surprised. Don't want to rule the kid out because, hey, you know, he's a pretty determined kid. He works pretty hard and really cares about his game. But like you said, I mean, he is sort of the, you know, there is the loose cannon-ness of Devontae Green, and it's like, okay, what's that really doing for you at the NBA level when you can go get guys that are more consistent scorers than he is that also bring other stuff. So I think he is going to play professionally for a while. I think he's the type of guy that's a lifer, that as long as there's an opportunity, as long as somebody's willing to pay for him to play basketball, he's going to play basketball. That strikes me. He's a baller that way. But I think that the opportunities are more likely going to be overseas.
Yeah, absolutely. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. Dustin, thanks for soldiering on with us. Appreciate the chat. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll do this again next week.
Absolutely. Same to you, sir.
All right. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic does great work. You can follow him on Twitter at Dustin Dopierak. Read his work at theathletic.com/Indiana. I believe that's the correct web address, but some great stuff from Dustin. Even in this time right now, if you're tracking all the movement and transfers and who's going to the NBA draft, he's a good guy to follow at this time. All right, couple quick things before we head to a break. We try to really put out our sponsors, especially those that are food establishments. I told you in the first segment about Honey Baked Ham. I told you about Zaxby's, two of our long-standing sponsors that have been with us here on the station and on this show. But also another sponsor, Cluckers. Don't forget they are open with locations across the area. It's a great opportunity to pick up some boneless wings or some traditional wings. They have a very widespread menu as well. Takeout still available at Cluckers. Of course, locations locally, even in Cordon, even across the river now in Shepherdsville as well. All right, we'll head to a commercial break. Oh, one other thing. Don't forget, if you're listening live in the 11 o'clock hour, coming up at 2:30 today, we have Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb. He'll have the state health officer with him and some other updates expected. Of course, Indiana's under a stay-at-home order unless it's essential for work or for food or for the pharmacy. Everybody's supposed to be shuttering in right now, and he'll have the latest. We'll play that press conference, that update for you at 2:30, and then at 5 o'clock today, we'll have the daily update from the Kentucky side of things. Governor Andy Beshear will have that for you here on the Big X as well. We'll head to a commercial break. Back with more, Chris Morris, assistant editor of the News and Tribune, joins us to talk about coronavirus, its effect locally, and we're going to get into some sports and some of the great teams and players that he's covered over his illustrious, long-standing career as a journalist here in Southern Indiana. We'll do that next, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back. Final segment on this Wednesday program brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your apparel needs, including T-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items. They offer screen printing, embroidery, and fully sublimated uniforms. Whatever your needs may be, let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. You can find out more at mlshirtco.com. Normally in this segment, we talk local sports with Josh Cook, the sports editor of the News and Tribune. But today, with everything going on in the world and everything going on locally, both sports and non-sports, I wanted to have one of the most reliable and long-standing faces in the media join us today, and that's News and Tribune assistant editor Chris Morris, who joins us. And I don't know, Chris, with a handful of years of me doing this show and many, many, many years of you covering the area, what's taken me so long to ask you to come on. But I'm appreciative of your time today. Tell me, Chris, how many years have you been covering Southern Indiana for the News and Tribune, formerly the New Albany Tribune? And you did start in sports. Am I correct in saying that?
You are correct. July of 1985. So it's almost been, 35 years, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah, the first 13 years were sports, and then made the switch over to news. So.
Absolutely. It's a crazy time right now, and we've tried to focus some on this program, not just keeping the sports talk going, but taking a look at our community and things happening locally. And there's so much out there about COVID-19, about how this is affecting and could affect our country even more. But you don't always get it from a local perspective, and I know that's something that you and the reporters at the News and Tribune do, try to cover things from a very intimate perspective as well. You've been around for a lot of great sports teams and for a lot of big news events, both good and bad. Where does this one rate? I have to believe it's with 9/11. I have to believe it's right there at the top of the list and what you've seen in this area.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the biggest thing with this is just the unpredictability of where it's going, you know, where it's headed. I mean, some say, you know, 2-3 weeks, others say 2 or 3 months. I mean, we just don't know where it's headed. So we don't know how it's going to affect us as far as our, you know, free movement or as far as businesses reopening or let alone sports starting back up again. So it just has an effect, you know, up and down the line. And it's just the unpredictability of everything.
Absolutely. We watch, I guess, locally, Indianapolis, Marion County, and, of course, Jefferson County to our south, just across the river in Louisville. Or I guess if there are hot spots locally because of population, those would have to be the hot spots. From a media perspective, Chris, I hear lots of things about, hey, you know, in this area, we only get updates from Kentucky. Yes, the national stuff, the president, they're on a daily basis, but everything seems to lean more Kentucky. I know you guys are covering the local health departments, interacting with those officials. We've been airing Governor Holcomb on the Indiana side, his press conferences as well, and kind of taking the coronavirus out of the picture for a moment. As you look back in your time in media, we're in a very interesting spot here in what I call far southern Indiana, where our television markets are dominated with Louisville and Kentucky coverage because of the population, because of the makeup of the region. We don't always get the intimate coverage of Indiana or news out of Indianapolis like we do from Louisville, like we do from Kentucky. That's kind of a challenge, and that's why I think that folks like the News and Tribune that are based in southern Indiana that want to cover the area but also do so with kind of an eye on southern Indiana and even our sports coverage here on the Big X. Yes, we talk about everything. There's a Kentucky show on leading into this program when it's live at 11 o'clock, but our focus is southern Indiana. Our focus is things happening here locally, and I think that times like this kind of underscore that maybe.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's been times when I've thought, you know, we are the kind of forgotten section of the state, or at least it always seems like that. And maybe it's because we're, you know, right across the river from Louisville and consider maybe part of the Louisville metropolitan area. But there are times when we, as far as state coverage go, kind of get ignored. So that's why we've always been hyper-local as far as really trying to focus on what's happening in our, you know, Clark, Floyd, and beyond, just these few counties down here, because we want to spotlight the people and the events.
Chris, go ahead, Chris.
No, go ahead. You're fine.
We try to spotlight some of our sponsors, as you guys do as well, that are going through a really tough time right now. As you get out and get on the phone and talk with different people, I know restaurants come to mind as places of business that are struggling and that will struggle. Other businesses now with this stay-at-home order, nothing but absolutely essential businesses can be open. There's going to be a lot of hurt here in southern Indiana, but there have been some good stories as well. Some of those stories I've read in the News and Tribune about folks banding together, associations, one southern Indiana, Develop New Albany, other local gatherings, clubs, organizations doing things for the area. Anything stand out to you? I think in this area we're used to people stepping up and having each other's back when there's a tough time.
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, you see the best in people during these types of situations, and you're right. There's organizations out there who are trying to help the service workers who are out of work. And even this morning, you know, I was in the I stopped by a grocery store, and just, you know, people were being kind to those workers. I heard a couple of people say thank you to the cashiers. And I just think maybe if anything out of this, maybe we appreciate folks who are giving it their all during these times, and we're stepping up to try to help those who are maybe less fortunate. Maybe those are things that wouldn't happen if we were going through our normal, you know, day in life.
Talking with Chris Morris, he's assistant editor of the News and Tribune. This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company. Let's get into some sports. You started in sports. We've had some great teams here. You've been a big part over the years of covering those teams. And one thing I appreciate is when there is something that comes back to light, local player, coach named to the Hall of Fame, named to the Silver Anniversary team. Maybe it's the anniversary, maybe even, unfortunately, the death of someone that's played an important role on a team or sports in our community. You seem to be the guy that steps up and does a great column or does a great story that brings back a lot of memories and a lot of history to our great sports area. You've had a chance to cover a lot of great teams, a lot of great players, and you've had a chance even before your time, I know, as a newspaper reporter, to follow the game. And I can remember back to my earliest days being around things. Chris Morris was always at the big games covering things. Super Hicks, great New Albany teams, great Jeffersonville teams. We've had a number of state championships, individual athletes as well. I know this is a very wide question, but maybe a couple teams historically over your career, over your time even of watching basketball in the state, that stand out to you.
Yeah, well, I remember also one pretty good public address announcer at New Albany baseball games. I think his first name was Matt.
Boy, you're going way back there. That's middle school time.
Well, I had it was such a great run during my time because we had the great New Albany teams of Coach Miller, and they had the great rivalry with Mike Broughton's Jeff teams. And then, of course, Coach Hinton at Floyd Central. We had Pat Graham, who was a Mr. Basketball, and I still remember how great that matchup was between Graham and Bailey at the Seymour Regional. I mean, it was just an unbelievable game and setting. And even the so-called minor sports, we always had great baseball teams. And Floyd Central's cross-country teams won four state championships. So it was just a great era to be in sports. And I don't know if I could pick one or two because – I think what I enjoyed almost as much as anything was just dealing with the iconic coaches we had in that time, you know, the Gene Sartinis, the Jim Millers, Ron Wiglips. It was just such a great time to be in high school sports,
you know,
covering high school sports.
You know, Chris, you had an opportunity. I think you were there some doing some pieces for the paper, but I think you were there a lot just as a fan in recent years as Romeo Langford made his way through the New Albany program. And I have to wonder, for guys like you that got to cover that Graham-Bailey sectional or regional game you mentioned in the crowd and the environment surrounding that, I have to wonder if you sat there in the stands, maybe without your reporter's notebook or without any duties of rushing to interview anyone after the game, as someone that's seen a lot and seen those great coaches and great players in big games over the years in some very prime years for basketball, what was it like to see it kind of come back to fruition, see the crowds come back? We've always had pretty good crowds, but to see it be packed to the gill once again and to see the interest and the ticket sales and the need for draws and prearranged tickets to get out there, not just show up the day of the game and it's an 8,000-seat gym at Seymour, you're going to get in, no problem. What was it like to kind of see a second coming of that almost?
Yeah, that was just such a – I mean, those 4 years of Romeo, that kind of – first of all, we've never seen a player draw that much interest as he did. I mean, to have an autograph line after games and to have that much state and national interest in New Albany. And to see the crowds come back, I mean, that really was kind of a throwback to the old days. I've always been kind of a critic of class basketball and still am. I just think it's just taken so much away from the tournament feel. But to have Romeo in those 4 years, I mean, just any type of regular season game, I mean, it didn't matter what it was. It was a full house, and it was so much interest, so much, it truly was Hoosier hysteria. And he did put life back into it as far as being, you know, locally and statewide. I mean, we had crowds, we had people come down from, you know, all over the state to see him play, and it was just a great time.
Chris, I've asked other people that have been on this program including the new commissioner himself, when he was with us last week, last Friday, this question. But because you've been around the game, this area, you've covered it for so long and have covered some of these great teams that went on to win state championships and play in front of big crowds, can you imagine being a coach of one of our four teams, Floyd Central, Silver Creek, Providence, Christian Academy, practicing, there being some unknown if the game would be played, the regional would be played or not, whether fans would be allowed or not, as we started to really see some local impact from COVID-19 and how it was concerning to our society and to our state, and then getting that call that, hey, not only are you not going to play, this thing has been canceled. For the great teams and coaches and players in our area, and this could be replicated, this statement across the state, no question about it, but to have to relay that message and to see the careers of some kids, that's what they are, student athletes, come to a close a lot quicker maybe than what they hoped and thought, is really just a heartbreaking thing, even keeping the coronavirus and its seriousness and its health risk at the very top, trying to keep things in perspective, just a tough pill to swallow, especially for the coaches and the players that have invested so much time.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I mean, here at Floyd Central, they win the sectional after all these years, and then they can't go on. They can't continue in the tournament because of the COVID-19. And then Silver Creek, who probably could have, probably would have won a second state title. And then you think of the spring sports kids, and there's just so much uncertainty. I mean, it's going to be a real stretch to get any type of spring sports in, I think. And those kids, those seniors, have to kind of watch their career just, kind of end. So it's just really the uncertainty, and it's just a tough time to be. And you're right. We need to be concerned about the COVID-19, but it's just really tough on athletes and coaches. To have their season canceled or ended, and then those who are getting ready to participate. It's just really, it'd be really difficult.
Absolutely. Chris Morris, assistant editor of the News and Tribune. Again, you can read Chris and the entire News and Tribune team at newsandtribune.com. Great to catch up with you. Again, I apologize. I've known you, respected you, followed you, asked you a lot of questions about how to get in the media, how to do things over the years. I'm not sure why I haven't asked you to be on it until now, but I'd like to do it again. So
anytime, man. Give me a holler.
I'll be in touch. Enjoyed the chat, Chris, and thanks for all your coverage, not just now, but over the years, always with an eye on Southern Indiana. You're very much appreciated.
All right. Appreciate it, Matt. Thanks.
All right. Chris Morris of the News and Tribune. And that's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday show. Again, if you're with us live, we do this each day, 11 o'clock live, the replay at 3 o'clock. Our replay today is probably going to be affected because at 2:30, we're going to pick up Governor Eric Holcomb from the State House in Indianapolis. He's got some state officials, health officer with him as well, for an update on this COVID-19 situation. And I'll be back with you for sure tomorrow at 11 a.m. We have Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, some other guests as well. And at some point this week, we're going to likely tomorrow catch up with Dr. Loeffner of Greater Clark County Schools as we do some sports, but also some non-sports things as well to keep you updated with some community happenings and, of course, how the coronavirus is affecting us here in Clark and Floyd counties. That wraps it up for today. Stay healthy, stay safe. Governor Holcomb at 2:30. I'm back with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.